Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Everyone is requested to please come closer, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. Faqad qala Allah ta'ala fi kalamihi al-majid. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفية إنه لا يحب المعتدين وقال تعالى ولقد خلقنا الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد وقال تعالى وإذا أسألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الدعاء مخ العبادة صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. As we know that during Ramadan or even before the Ramadan starts, we start hearing about the fadail of Ramadan, fasting, infaq fi sabilillah, and also the acceptance of du'as. So du'a and fasting are connected together, and we know this thing like since our childhood. We are observing this thing, watching our parents, elders, in the masajid, in the khatm Quran, that how people are putting more effort in their du'as. So today, inshallah, we'll try to discuss some adab and manners of du'as and some stories of our elders and the pious, how they listened to this commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and followed the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and how they practiced du'as in their life. Allah mentions in Quran, "Udu rabbakum tadarruan wa khufiya." Call upon your Lord in humility and privately. Tadarru'an wa khufiya. It also means like while crying. Girgirate huye. So it has been mentioned in hadith that we should try to cry in our du'as, but if it is hard, it is not possible, or like tears are not coming, we should do it with takalluf. We should imitate those who are crying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذَا أَسْأَلَكَ عِبَادِي. This verse comes after the verses of Ramadan. After those verses where Ramadan and fasting is discussed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses this, وَإِذَا أَسْأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this to Nabi alayhi salatu salam, that when my servants ask you about me, The trend of the Quran is that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in this way, that he is referring to the question which Sahaba asked. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning that question, then Allah says, "Qul." Tell them my answer. But here in this verse, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala skipped this word of qul, that you tell your companions or Muslims about the answer of this question, وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِي, that when these servants are asking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of saying that you reply, Allah straight away, he gives this reply himself, فَإِنِّي قَرِيب, that indeed I am near. And subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using here the word عِبَادِي, my servants. This nisbah, this connection itself is so amazing and ajeeb. There was a student a few days ago, he was saying that we study in the books of Aqai that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any jism, no body, and he also is free of emotions. Like we have emotions, we get angry, we get happy. Allah is free of these emotions. So he said that I feel this emotional gap. How should I feel that even when I'm expecting my father to love me, so I'm also expecting emotional reactions from him. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think in my mind that how can I feel close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What, like, even if I'm making du'as, I'm praying, what is the response I'm getting from him? So the response is here in the, mentioned in this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us, like, sometimes this emotional connection is shown verbally, and sometimes physically. Sometimes we write something to others. Previously people used to write letters. Now there are some people who also write journals expressing their connection and love. So Quran itself is kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning about his servants, the way he mentions here, ibadi, my people, my servants, this is showing that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating us to himself, subhanallah, ibadi, my servants, mere bande. This itself is so deep that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these are my servants. And this even happened, it was mentioned in Surah Bani Israel, that when Shaitan was doing this debate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Adam was created and he was not doing sajda, and he was giving dalail that I am superior to Adam, and he requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that give me more time so I can misguide Bani Adam. Even at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that my servants, against them you will not win. You will not win against my servants. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was talking with these students, subhanAllah, think deeply into this verse, that even that time, during that debate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about us. If we want to be among his servants, if we want to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we are coming in that category of ibadi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave the reference of his, those servants who love him, who follow his commandments, even at that time when Adam was created. So if today, after thousands and thousands of years, I'm becoming a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so this means I was used in that reference against Iblis in that moment when Adam was created, subhanAllah. So Allah says, "Fainni qareeb." I am near. Ujibu da'wata da'idha da'ani. I respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. So they should also respond to my ahkam, my rulings. وَلْيُقْمِنُوا بِي. They should also believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So that they can be rightly guided. So this dua actually shows that a person gets into the maqam of ubudiyya, which is the best maqam a person, a human can have. Allama Iqbal rahimahullah has mentioned this so beautifully in one of his poem, that maqame bandagi dekar nalu shane khudawandi. Maqame bandagi dekar nalu shane khudawandi. Matae be bhaha hai. Matai bebaha means it's a very precious thing. Dard soze arzu mandi. When a person cries and asks for his wishes and desires in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this feeling is so precious. Ke maqame bandagi dekar na lu shane khudawandi. You don't want to give away this maqam of bandagi to claim that I am, like Firaun said, ana rabbukumul ala. A Muslim does not want it. Like these kings of the world, those who have power, sometimes they think that they have the powers of God, na'udhu billah, and they want to make such decisions. They want to do zulm on others. So Iqbal says that maqame bandagi dekar na lushane khudawandi. That is so precious, to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have this maqam of ubudiyya. I don't want to exchange it to get the kingdomship and any such false claims that like Firon mean an Arabukum Allah, Astaghfirullah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was at this maqam of Ubudiyya. That's why even in Badr, for hours and hours he made this dua, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed that I will help you in this first battle of Haqq and Batil. Even Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had to come and he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tried to provide comfort to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah is helping you, His help is coming, you are doing too much. But he understood this maqam of ubudiyya. That's why it is mentioned in the hadith that dua, ad-dua mukhul ibadah, this dua is the weapon of the believer. So, what are the manners of dua? When we make dua, what are the protocols of it? What are the protocols of it? So, point number one, the dua, whatever dua we are making, we should have the essence of dua in it. It should not be only mere words. Like we might have seen many times in the nikah functions with the photo cameras on and Imam Sahab or Moli Sahab is making dua or Khatib is making dua and people are holding cameras in their hands and looking here, right and left. And what kind of dua is this? Dua means that the complete focus should be towards dua and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I'm looking here and there and just raising hands does not mean that I'm making dua. I'm imitating those who are making dua, maybe trying to copy them. But this does not mean that the essence of dua is there. Similarly, a person, before making dua for others, he should first make dua for himself. And it is recommended to raise hands while making dua. And start. We should start with dua with the hamd and salawat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and end the dua at ameen. And this is also among the adab of dua that we should request those people for dua who are lower than us in our age or status or relation. Normally, this is a norm, alhamdulillah, in our culture that we ask for duas. We request for dua for when we meet some elder, our parents, our teachers, any elder member in the community, we go to them and request for duas. But at the same time, if there is someone who is younger than us or lower than us, status or in relationship, we should also request for du'as from them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, one time he mentioned this to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, don't forget me in your du'as. So definitely Umar radiallahu ta'ala was lower than him in status. So from this we understand that asking for du'as does not mean that it should only be done when you're meeting some elder or the one who is higher in status or relationship. And dua should be like conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah se baatein kar rahe jaise. Some people when they go for umrah, they ask during tawaf what duas we should make. So definitely masnoon du'as have their own importance, but a lot of times we don't understand the Arabic language. We should try to memorize those du'as with translation. But at the same time, we should also make du'as even that time during tawaf in our mother tongue so that we can express our feelings fully. Just like someone is talking with his friends. Focus and yaqeen, both things are required in dua. Complete focus should be there and yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening. Subhanallah, how many times we are reminded that Allah is listening? Every single rakat of salah, in every single rakat, we recite, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allah is listening. Allah is listening. In every single rakat. So if a person is praying faraid and sunan only, if we skip nawafil, then at least we pray 32 rakat per day with witr. So 32 times we are saying Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allah is listening. So this is giving us this confirmation that whatever dua we are making, Allah is listening. So yaqeen is required. And another adab of dua, manner of dua, is that we should use these sifati names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while making these du'as. Ya Allah, Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Jawad, Al-Malik Al-Quddus, As-Salam. Whatever du'a we are asking, it is in some, the thing which we are asking has some relation with one of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while using those sifat, we should make those du'as. 1 or 2 hours ago, I received a call from one of my friends, and he was saying that our marriage is at risk, so please make dua that it does not end up on divorce. So he was saying that my wife does not want to continue this nikah. So I told him that make dua and use this sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, or the one who can change the condition of the heart. Many times students come, they say, we want to do alim course, our parents does not want us to become alim, what should we do? I tell them the same thing, that make this dua, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, or the one who can change the condition of the heart. So inshallah, you'll find it very powerful. So we should use these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while making du'as. When du'a is not accepted, number one of the most important reasons because of which du'a is not accepted is if someone has broken ties with his family, close family members. This is one of the major reasons when du'as are not accepted. So this is such an important ruling of Islam to have good ties with the family members. So the more our family members are close to us, the formula is that whoever is getting or will get the share in inheritance is considered as the close family member. And then there are extended family members too. So we should never break ties with them. If this is the situation, this is the time in Ramadan, call them. Say sorry to them, express love, share some money with them, and tell them, okay, I'm ordering iftar for you. These days it is very easy. So similarly, eating or using haram things also become an hurdle in acceptance of du'as. If we are eating haram or we are using any haram, so this becomes a hurdle in the acceptance of du'as. One time, we were in Karboga Sharif in Ramadan 2 or 3 years ago. So they try to follow the sunnah of reciting Surah Sajda and Surah Dahar in Fajr Salah. So one of my teachers, who is amazing, mashallah, in his ilm and amal, and he's pakka hafiz. So he was told by the sheikh that tomorrow morning you have to lead Fajr. And there were like thousands of people attending the last 10 days in Karboga Sharif Masjid. More than at least 10,000 people were there. So although he was pakka hafiz, but he was feeling this pressure now. I have to lead the salah, and 10,000 people will be behind me, and the sheikh will also be there. So he started practicing at night. Next morning when he went to musalla for leading Fajr Salah, he made some mistakes. So when Salah finished, our Hazrat straight away asked from him that, did you make dua while starting your salah? That, Ya Allah, help me in this salah, may I not make any mistake? He said, no. This was like private conversation between them. Then Hazrat used to give a small talk after Fajr, 10 to 15 minutes. So that day, the talk was dedicated to this topic, that how we should make small du'as in our life. This will make us habitual of making du'as and also connect us more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One example can be, for example, if we are coming to Masjid Darussalam from our house, Ya Allah, may every signal that comes in the route, may it be green. Whenever, Ya Allah, may I feel the pleasure in iftar. May Ya Allah, may I not see any traffic on the road when you're going for grocery. Allah, may I straight away get to the items which are on sale or have better deals. Even if you have bad day with your spouse, make dua, Ya Allah, oh, I'm going back home. May we spend this day or night in peace and love. So these small, small duas should be asked, Ya Allah, my today at job, give me tawfiq to perform at my best. When I'm putting gas in the car, Ya Allah, put barakah in the mileage. These small, small duas should be asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shaykh Rahimullah, he used to make duas with juziyat. Juziyat, like what teacher mentioned, that it's like a tailor-made suit. He used to make like tailor-made, custom-made duas. So in Karboga, the weather was quite similar to Chicago, like uncertain. The days in summers were very hot, but evenings and night were cold. So he used to make this dua. Literally these duas during, especially when Ramadan season, when a lot of crowd was there. Ya Allah, from Fajr to Zuhur, please lower the temperature. And from Zuhur to Asr, we need some rain. Ya Allah, from Asr to Maghrib, crowd will be sitting outside. They will have iftar without any roof. So we don't want any rain at that time. No strong winds, just a pleasant environment. And at night, we again need the temperature to be a bit lower. So this was the style of his dua. Every single hour of the day was coming in this dua, that Ya Allah, I need this temperature at this time. This is a way to also to extend our duas. One time we were there, and it was 27th of Ramadan, and thousands of people were there and sitting for iftar after Asr, and there was a bayan and then iftar, and no roof, and it started raining. So everyone was told to make this dua, which is mentioned in hadith, Allahumma hawa alayna wa la alayna. Ya Allah, made this rain shower around us, not upon us. So within 5-7 minutes, rain stopped. Everyone listened bayan, then the iftar happened, dinner happened, then taraweeh happened. Those who were coming from the side areas, those who were not present there at iftar, they told after at Isha and taraweeh that at our place, which was like maybe 1 kilometer away, 5 minutes drive, 10 minutes drive, streets were full of water. Rain did not stop. But here in the middle, where all of the attendees were making this dua, Allahumma hawalayna wa la alayna, rain stopped. What was required? Yaqeen. Yaqeen was required. We have seen, it is mentioned in a hadith that duas are accepted during the rain. And sometimes Nabi alayhi salam used to go in the rain and make dua. So we have seen our principal of Jamia Rashid Mufti Abdul Rahim Sahab that when it is very rare that rain happens in Karachi. So it was raining, and whenever we saw that there was rain and he was there in the campus, he would go in the green area and he will sit there for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, constantly making duas. We saw him in Haram, Masjid al-Nabawi. I got this chance to spend some time with him there. And between Asr and Maghrib, the same time we were sitting here, he would first make long duas while sitting, and then he will go to change his position. Next 5-7 minutes in sajda, dua is still going on. Then he would again sit and then go back to sajda. So changing different positions but not stopping the process of dua. What happens with us that we get tired? We think, what? 20 minutes of long dua, half an hour, 1 hour, how is it possible? The issue is that we are not trained in this. This requires training. We can waste a lot of time, hours and hours in social media. But when talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we get tired within 3-4 minutes. We say, okay, what else should I ask for? Many times we are not happy with the situation of our surroundings. Our country, other Muslim countries, the whole Ummah, the whole world, should make duas. This is the least we can do. One way of extending the dua is to repeat what the dua which we are making, to make this habit of long duas. We should try to repeat it 3 times, 5 times, or again, as I mentioned, go into juziyat. Like, for example, dua for parents. If someone is doing dua for parents, he will get more barakah in his rizq. So one dua for parents is Rabbir Hamuma Kamara Bayani Sagira, very famous dua. This is aam dua. But we should not think this is enough. We should make more duas. Go into juziyat. If someone's father is doing a business, so he should make dua, Ya Allah, may he get good customers today, may he get cheap supplies and best selling rates. May his workers do not tease him, do not give him hard time. When may, Ya Allah, my father, whenever, whatever work he's doing, may he, again, the same duas which I'm asking for myself, I should ask for him. May he not get any traffic, may he not get any more time spent in red light, or may he not face any cop. All these small duas we should make for ourselves, for our parents, similarly for your mother. Everyone has different situations in their households and businesses and their professional life. Try to make these duas with juziyat. These small things should be asked in dua. One of the best time to practice this dua is between iqama, azan and iqama. It is mentioned in hadith that duas are accepted between azan and iqama. And one thing which we can notice is that dua is also accepted after salah. But after salah, we are in a hurry to go back to our cars and to our work and whatever we have to do. So we cannot concentrate more in dua. But when I'm sitting after azan in masjid for like 5, 10 or 15 minutes, I know I'll not leave this masjid before praying with jamaat. So I can concentrate more on my dua. So try practicing this and you will feel the spiritual progress, inshallah. One day, Hazrat Thanvi Rahimullah was talking about the fadail of dua. So he said that, jholi phela phela kar Allah se mango. So Khaja Majub Rahimullah, he said that, Hazrat agar kisi ba jholi na ho to. So Hazrat said, jholi bhi Allah se mango. Today I was talking with one of our colleagues, Maulana Hassan. I asked him, what is the English of jholi? What do you say? What is the translation of it? He said, I don't know. Then he said, these people do not have any jholi in their dress code. So maybe that's why we don't find any translation for it. Jholi to kameez ke saath hoti hai na. To choti shirt ke saath to jholi nahi hogi. To jholi phila phila kar Allah se mango. Jholi na ho to jholi bhi Allah se mango. This means everything should be asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many times we depend on the Imam sahab or whoever is leading the dua, that we'll just say Ameen. This is good, mashallah, but to learn how to make dua. But at the same time, we should also try to practice more, to practice making lengthy duas ourselves. When we are back home, especially in suhoor time, this is the time that duas are accepted. This is a very ajeeb trend here in this part of the world. The new generation, they many times they do not eat suhoor. So if they don't eat suhoor, they eat late night dinners. Okay, fine. Although there's barakah in suhoor, but they also skip this golden time of making duas. They're laying down on the bed. What should be done? At least wake up, pray tahajjud, make duas. And if you don't want to eat, okay, that's fine. You can just drink one cup of water or one date. That's it, to get the barakah of suhoor. So try to share this with your family members, young generation, that don't waste these precious moments of dua. So inshallah, the time is 5:34, subhanallah. So we have a very less time. Inshallah, we'll make dua. Some of the duas, inshallah, I'll make, we'll say Ameen, but I will also give you guys some time to make duas, talk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just like we talk with our friends and share your feelings, inshallah.